Well, today I want to start a new series of teachings. And they are entitled Enlightenment. Somebody say Enlightenment. Concerning the kingdom of God. Or how God's system, how God's government, his rule, his dominance operate in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. When we use the term enlightenment, all we're saying to you is that it's time for us to get more understanding. Say more understanding concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. The word enlightenment also means to shed light upon. Say shed light upon. So during this series, we want to shed some light upon the kingdom of God, or how God's government, his system, say his system, his rule, and his dominance operate in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. In order for us to shed that light, we want to look at some of the parables, somebody say parables, of the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Within those parables, God, through Jesus Christ, enlightened us concerning the way that his kingdom operates in the earth realm, even how his kingdom operates within us. Somebody say amen. One thing we need to understand about the kingdom of God as it relates to the earth realm, that the kingdom of God, say the kingdom of God, is within us, within the believer, amen. So not that I'm going against something that Jesus said. I understand what dispensation he was in when he did his teaching. He was under the dispensation of the law, and he asked us to pray that his kingdom come. Say, kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, amen. But after he implemented the dispensation of grace, somebody say grace. We need to understand that the kingdom already resides within us. They are one. We know that the kingdom of God exists now, and then we know that there will be a millennial kingdom reign in the future, amen. So what we want to work on now is allowing the Lord to reign in us in the earth realm as he desires to reign in us. Somebody say amen. If he can get us to understand and realize that he desires to do some things through us, and we yield to what he has already placed in us, the Holy Spirit, there's some awesome things that God can do in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. Spiritual gifts reside in us by the way of the Holy Spirit, and so many other things reside within us by way of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. So we're going to take some time. Somebody say take some time and do some teachings concerning the enlightening of the kingdom of God in our lives. Amen. The first place we want to look is Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And it's the parable of the 10 virgins. Somebody say amen. Somebody say 10 virgins. Now, I believe in this particular parable, I believe that from this particular parable that the Apostle Paul was enlightened concerning the rapture. Somebody say the rapture. And concerning victory over death. Amen. So this parable has a lot of insights in us as it relates to the second coming of the Lord. Amen. It has a lot of symbolism in it by way of helping us to understand what we need to do to be prepared for his return. Amen. Now, this parable is concerning 10 virgins and a wedding. Say a wedding. So the first thing I need to do before I get into the parable is to let you know that wedding ceremonies, were not, for the lack of a better term, done back in the days of Jesus like they're done in this day. Somebody say amen. We go to a wedding now, the people in the church or wherever the venue is, glory to God, they're waiting on the bride to come down the aisle to be awed by her beauty, amen. The groom and his folks are standing waiting for the bride to come down, and she's the showpiece. Say the showpiece. Say the showpiece. The wedding was a little bit different. The wedding ceremony was a little bit different during the time of Jesus. Somebody say amen. So I need you to erase what you know about modern-day weddings from your mind temporarily. Somebody say amen. And then I need you to get this picture of how weddings transpired during Jesus' time or under the Jewish regime or when people were living during Jesus' time. Somebody say amen. The wedding started with the bridesmaids gathering at the bride's house. And then the bridesmaids would leave the bride's house and go out to meet the groom. The groom would be in transit, if you will, and at some point the bridesmaids or the virgins, unmarried women, would meet the groom, and the groom, the bridesmaids, and their procession would go back to the bride's house. When they got back to the bride's house, the groom would observe the wedding. He'd take a look at it. Somebody say amen. And when all the ceremony, all the festivities were done, the groom would take his bride, and they would go into the bride's home, and then the marriage would be consummated. Somebody say amen. So again, the bridesmaid went out. The bridegroom was on his way, glory to God, and they were led to the bride's house. And after the ceremony, glory to God, the groom took his bride, went into the house, and they consummated the relationship. Somebody say amen. There's a picture there. Somebody say picture there. The church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. He's on his way back. We don't know when he's coming. Somebody say amen. But we know that he promised us that he would come back. Amen. And while we are waiting for his return, he's watching us. He's watching us to see how we're carrying out the instructions that he left for the church to carry out in his absence, amen, or to operate in the authority that the church has been given to operate in, amen. And I wonder how we are faring. I wonder how we are faring. You see, very obvious. But there's another one that we have to really dig down in to see. Somebody say amen. So the parable starts this way. The kingdom, say the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Say the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've taught you in the past that kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven are synonymous. Somebody say amen. And they are to a certain extent. Somebody say amen. But today I want to add a little bit more clarity to the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the place where God rules, where his system works, where he have dominance in the space that he live in, which is in the heavenly realm. Somebody say amen. That's the kingdom of heaven. Say kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God has the same connotation, but the kingdom of God deals with how God rules, reigns, his system operates in the earth realm, primarily through us. Amen. So the focus here is the kingdom of heaven. Say kingdom of heaven. The parable declares that the kingdom of heaven shall be what? Like unto what? Somebody say 10 virgins. The word or the phrase likened to means to be compared to. Somebody say compared to. Or analogous to. Say analogous to. So we can compare the kingdom of heaven here to 10 virgins. The scripture goes on to say the 10 virgins who what? Took their lamps and went out to meet what? Say the bridegroom. We've already given you sort of a picture of what the wedding looks like with the bridegroom and the virgin. Somebody say amen. But the virgins in the passage have some symbolic meaning. The 10 virgins in the parable is symbolic of people. Not just people, but people waiting to be saved, if you will. So there are 10 virgins, say unmarried. They hadn't been wedded to Jesus yet. Somebody say amen. And they are in the earth realm waiting to be saved, if you will, amen. Verse number 2. Now, 5 of them were what? And 5 were what? 5 is the number of grace biblically, which I believe that Christ is trying to tell us or help us to see that we're in the period of grace where all people can be saved if they only but accept Jesus, amen. There was the period of the law, say law. And then after the law, grace was implemented in the earth realm for every mankind who would accept Jesus Christ to be saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible declares by grace are we saved. Somebody say amen. So grace is available for everyone who will receive Jesus and be saved in him. Somebody say amen. So there were 5 wise virgins, and there were what? Somebody say five foolish. The term wise here denotes preparedness, readiness, ready to receive, or ready to receive a return, if you will. Somebody say amen. Amen. The term foolish denotes unwiseness, being unready. Somebody say unready. It's almost like flying by the seat of your pants. You just do stuff haphazardly. Somebody say amen. So we had five. How many versions?
Five.
How many foolish?
Five.
Somebody say five. Which determines as the grace is available in the earth realm, it's available for both sets. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Verse number three. Those who were foolish did what? And took no oil with them. Somebody say unprepared. Somebody said it before I could say it. Somebody say unprepared. They didn't prepare for any delays. They just took the lamp. And they did not even prepare for that, for the fact that the wedding might be at night. Somebody say amen. They just took their lamps. The Bible declares that they took no oil. Jesus in his storytelling said they took no oil for their lamps. Amen. Oil, the anointing, oil denoting anointing in the scriptures. Jesus, the anointed one. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Which denotes the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Which denotes the presence of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Which denotes salvation. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
I make all of those distinctions because the scripture declares that every believer that have been saved has the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
So oil denoting, to make it very simple, salvation, if you will. There's been a lot of talk, Pastor Wayne, over the years about what the oil really represented. And some preachers have talked about the fact that it could represent the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. But we understand that when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, God don't take the Holy Spirit away from us. Amen. So it can't represent the Holy Spirit. But it can represent salvation that comes to as many as receive him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse number four. But the wise took what? In their vessels with what? Which denotes what? Preparedness. Say they were prepared. They were ready. Somebody say ready. In a little bit, I'm going to show you how wise you can be or I can be if we prepare for particular things in life. Somebody say amen. I know the emphasis for most of us is on salvation, and that's a good emphasis. Somebody say amen. But God desires us as we live in this natural earth realm to be prepared in some natural places. Amen. So we're going to show us where we need to prepare in some natural places. Somebody say amen. Verse number five. We're just walking through. Somebody say walking through. But while the bridegroom was delayed, what did they do? They all waited on him. Somebody say waited on him. Verse number six. And at midnight, say midnight, a cry was what? What did they say? The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. So the bridegroom is on his way, which denotes Jesus is on his way. Somebody say amen. And we also see, glory to God, we see rapture there. Somebody say amen. And we can also see the church meeting him in the air, if you will. Somebody say amen. Somebody say midnight. The word midnight denotes darkness. Somebody say dark. We get a preview of what the world is going to be like when Jesus Christ comes. Amen. Even though we don't know when he's coming. No man know not the day nor the hour. But we can get a vivid picture of what the world will look like when he show back up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Night denotes dark. Dark denotes dark times. There are going to be some dark times in the world when Jesus come back. Somebody said Jesus come back. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 24, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days when Christ returns. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, what was happening in the days of Noah? Men had grew wicked. Their thoughts were evil, which means that everything that they did, because their thoughts were evil, their works displayed their mindsets. the scripture declares, as a man thinketh in his heart, guess what? So is he. So it's going to be some dark times. We think it's dark now, but the times are going to be even darker. Somebody say amen. I was reading the parable of Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, a couple of weeks ago. And when Jesus got through with the parable, he said something that startled me. He said, when the Son of Man returned, will he really find faith in the earth? He asked the question, when the Son of Man returned, will he really find faith in the earth? Will he really find folks trusting in him in the earth realm? That's dark. Because at least the church ought to be trusting in him. But he raised, I've read this so many times, but it got my attention this particular day. And he knows. Somebody say he knows. But he raised the question, when I return, when I really find faith in the earth. So it's going to be dark. Somebody say dark. When Christ returns to rapture his church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse number 7. Then all those virgins, the crowd came, Jesus, here come Jesus, or here come the bridegroom, let's go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They trimmed their lamps. In essence, they turned the light on. Somebody say, turn the light on. Verse number 8. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. See, unpreparedness can mess you up sometimes. You might not have what you need to move forward. Somebody say amen. So preparedness is of the essence for us as believers. And I'll make more sense in a few minutes. Somebody say amen. Verse number 9. But the wise answer saying, no, we're not giving you another hour, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But they say, go rather to those who what? Sell and buy for yourselves. Amen. We see a picture of the gospel here, but we understand that the gospel is not sold, which means we can't buy the gospel. Somebody say amen. But what we can do is go back to the place where the gospel is being shared and take possession of the gospel. Amen. Take possession of it by hearing it. Amen. So the five wise, they were prepared. They would be what you call saved. Somebody say amen. The five foolish were not saved, amen. So they had to go back to a place so that they can hear the gospel explain or exclaim so that they can receive Jesus and receive salvation. Somebody say amen. Can I help you today? You're in the right place. Somebody say amen. Well, the gospel can be shared. Somebody say amen and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, amen. The word buy denotes take possession of, if you will. Somebody say amen. Verse number 10. Told you we're just going to walk through it. Amen. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom showed up. And those who were ready did what? They were raptured. They were raptured. Somebody say amen. And then Jesus closed the door. Nobody else cannot enter in. Somebody say amen. The scripture in Isaiah 55 verse number 6 says this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There will be a time where he will not be able to be found, amen. The church would be raptured, et cetera, et cetera. The gospel age would have come and gone. Somebody say amen. So now is the time. Now is the acceptable time. Somebody say amen. Verse number 11. After what the other verses came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Let us in. Let us go with you, Lord. Somebody say amen. Verse number 12. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. You can't come up in here. There's been no relationship established. There's been no accepting him as Jesus. No accepting him as Savior and Lord of their lives. Somebody say amen. Jesus declared over, I think in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, everybody who say unto me, Lord, Lord, they're calling them Lord. Somebody say amen. Won't enter into the kingdom of heaven or won't enter into eternity with me. Somebody say amen. So the door was shut. They could not come in. Verse number 12. But he asked and said, Verse number 13, watch. Here's where the lesson begins for us. Somebody say amen. Watch, do what? Do what first? No. What did I say do first? Somebody said we got to be on the lookout. We got to be on the lookout for his return. Even when we're watching Coach Brown, we need to be looking on, be looking for Christ's return. Somebody say amen. Even when we're doing whatever we're doing, somebody say amen. We need to be watching for his return. Because again, we don't know when he's coming. We just know it's going to be a dark time. But we need to keep our eyes peeled because he is coming back. He cannot lie. He came the first time for folks to be saved. Somebody say amen. He's coming the second time to get folks who were saved. Somebody say amen. Whether you're dead or alive. Somebody say amen. That's why I said that this particular parable is probably where Paul got his teachings concerning the church being raptured. Somebody say amen. So he says, do what? Watch. Therefore, look, for you know what? In which the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is coming. Somebody say amen. So he's coming. So he's coming back. He came the first time for us to be saved. We can be saved during this grace period. And when he comes back for his church or for his bride, somebody say amen, we can go back with him. Somebody say amen. And that's the story. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's get some relevant takeaways. The world must be ready for his return. How can the world get ready for his return? It's through being saved. Say through being saved. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him, John 3:16, shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. So we can have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, which means we are in the world. Say in the world. But we can be prepared while we're in the world for his return. Somebody say amen. Relevant takeaway number two. Say number two. And I'm not going to be too long this morning. Don't look like it. Somebody say amen. The second thing we need to see from this parable is God is a planner. Say he's a planner. Somebody say he's a planner. Now this parable was spoken over 2,000 years ago. And God was talking about planning way back then through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. But if you know anything about God, what was in the mind of God that was spoken about Jesus Christ when this parable was spoken wasn't when he planned what he was going to do. Even before the foundation of the world, the plan to rapture the church was already in the mind of God. Somebody say amen. Even before Adam fell, say Adam fell, this was in the plan of God. This was in the mind of God. Somebody say amen. Even before Adam fell, Jesus Christ being sacrificed for the sin of mankind was in the mind of God, which means God planned all this out, even before the earth was formed. Somebody say God is a planner. Somebody say God is a planner. And if we are not planners like he is, we fall up under the unwise category. Somebody say unwise. If we had learned how to plan for practical things in the earth realm, we fall up under the category of being unwise or not prudent. Prudent or prudence denoting planning for the future, amen. So we talk about being like God. Say, being like God. So if we're going to be like God, say, like God, there's a lot of attributes, a lot of qualities that we can take on that are like God. But if we're going to be like God according to this parable, we must learn how to plan. Notice I say learn, because some of us don't know how. Somebody say amen. You know, I try to be very practical in teaching. Somebody say amen. If you don't know how to plan, just for practical things, there are so many books written that you can read to help you in your planning. Somebody say amen. My son tells me all the time, he's in the podcast. Somebody say podcast. If you got an iPhone, or Android, or iPad, or what's that thing right there? a laptop. If you got any of those things, you can pull up an iPad. A podcast. All you got to put in podcast on how to plan, and they'll come up and they will teach you how to plan. You want to learn how to plan because you want to be like God. Somebody say like God, who is the master planner, if you will. Somebody say amen. So if you find yourself, and this is not a derogatory or condemning statement, if you find yourself in the place of not being able to plan, you need to learn how to plan. Somebody say learn how to plan. Somebody say learn how to plan. How many of y'all got savings accounts in here? Don't raise your hand. Savings denote planning. Somebody say planning. I know a lot of us, you know, we're very spiritual. If I don't have nothing, the Lord gonna take care of me. And that could be true. But God has given us wisdom. He's given us word that should help us understand that if he's a planner, I ought to be a planner too. Somebody say amen. Just practical things. See, practical things. How many of us have life insurance? Everybody say life insurance. You know, if you got life insurance, when you die, because you're going to die unless Jesus Christ come back, amen, your family will be well off. Well, they can at least sustain for a little while, say a little while, until such time as days get better. Somebody say amen, or Christ returns. Somebody say amen. I'm looking at some ways now. I've moved some investments around, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at some ways now to take out more insurance on me, so that if I go to be with the Lord before Vicky does, you don't have to worry about paying off no house or none of those kind of things because the money will be there, amen. That's planning for future events. Because we're going to surely die. Somebody say surely die. And if we don't want our loved ones crying because we're dead and crying because they don't know what they're going to do, somebody say amen, we need to make some preparations for the future. Somebody say amen. I did for myself, they can do for themselves. No, if you're a really loving individual, you'll try to make some plans for your family to be pretty well off at your demise. Somebody say amen. How many of us have investments? How many of us have life insurance? How many of us have planned in every different area or as many areas as you can for just practical matters in the earth realm? God is a planner. And if we're going to be like God, guess what? We need to learn how to plan too. There are no excuses. There's too much available. Pastor, I didn't come to church to hear about planning. Well, you need to come to church to learn some things that you need to learn, amen. And you need to learn the fact that Jesus ain't always keeping everything out in the wild blue yonder somewhere. Somebody say amen. He's making it relevant for us. All we got to do is get the teacher who can show us the relevance in the scripture. Somebody say amen. And we can move out in the area that he desires relevance in our lives. So God is a planner. Somebody say planner. Somebody say he's a planner. Somebody say he's a planner. Well, Pastor, I thought I was just supposed to die and focus on going to heaven. See, I keep teaching you this. Heaven is already in place for you. Somebody say amen. It ain't going nowhere. Somebody say amen. Until such time as the Lord gets ready for it to go. Somebody say amen. But until then, we got to learn how to live in this natural earth realm. Which means we got to learn some practical things to do in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. Here again, we're not putting anybody down. We're not being condemning to anybody. But we're trying to provoke you to thought. Somebody say amen. Somebody ought to go in to work tomorrow trying to figure out how much life insurance I got. Do I need to add more? How are my investments doing? Do I need to move my investments around? If you have any, am I saving anything? Let me see what I can cut here and cut there so I can have savings that's adequate for future events. God is a planner. Somebody say he's a planner. He planned for you to be here today. He planned for you to be saved. How do I know he planned for you to be saved? Because the Bible declares that no man can come unto Jesus except God the Father draws him. And if you're saved, it means that God got involved in your salvation. Somebody say amen. And he drawed you unto his son. Somebody say amen. Amen. That was a plan of his long before. Because God is a God of predestination. Amen. Predetermination. Somebody say amen. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God already had a plan for you. Somebody say a planner. Somebody say a planner. So relevant takeaway number one, we need to be watchful. Always on. I remember years ago when I used to drive over the road, I was just getting in the word heavily, if you will. Every time the sky got dark and lightning started flashing from one end of the sky to the other, I was looking for Jesus to come back. I was looking for him. Somebody say amen. You laugh, but even way back when the Apostle Paul was in his ministry, amen, they was writing as though he was returning tomorrow. They were looking for him. Somebody say amen. I'm still looking for him today. Got my eyes wide open. Am I doing everything right? I'm sorry to say no. But I'm prepared because I'm saved. Somebody say saved. Saw the prophet on social media, I won't call his name, taking some flack from people because he said that sin won't keep you out of heaven. Sin practice won't keep you out of heaven, but not accepting Jesus will keep you out of heaven. Do you not know he had to defend that statement to the church? A great deal of the church still think that practicing sin or making sinful mistakes, if you will keep them out of heaven. But the scripture is clear. Rejecting Jesus keeps you out of heaven. Somebody say amen. Now, that don't mean you need to keep sinning like you're going out of your mind, amen. What needs to happen is as we are in sanctification, we need to sin less. Somebody say amen. But the real deal is heaven is already in view for the saved folks. So we need to be watchful. Somebody say watchful. And number two, we need to learn how to plan. Somebody say plan. Man, I had the refrigerator, the microwave, the dishwasher, the house need painting on the outside. The car needed some work, the black one that I drive. A couple of other things all happened at the same time. At the same time, if there was no planning, that could have almost drove me off the deep end, amen. Because I would have got anxious about how we're going to do this, how we're going to fix this, so on and so forth. But because God has taught me how to plan, we were able to take care of the situations, go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, so on and so forth, in the joy of the Lord. Having our peace. Somebody say amen. Yeah. So planning is of the essence. How many of y'all thought you'd still be here today? Because how many of y'all still thought that you would still be here today? Most of us. Some of us probably didn't because we probably thought Jesus was going to come back before we got to the age that we are, amen. The point is, he hadn't come back yet. There's still life. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm planning for retirement now. I'm planning for what I get. What? I ain't gonna be here for the rest of my life. I got some life to live outside of the church. So I have to plan for that, amen. Or I'll find myself flat on my face. Somebody say amen. So plan. Somebody say planning. Planning is being like God. So we need to learn how to plan. Somebody say amen. So we need to be watchful. We need to be planners. Somebody say amen. You already made your plans for eternity. Now we need to learn how to make our plans for practical living in the earth realm. Amen. What did he say? Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour that the what? Son of Man, which means he's delaying, which means in the interim, there's life to be lived. While we're in the interim, we need to be planning for the future in the natural realm. Now, what's our very spiritual now in Jesus' name? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we honor you so much for your word. It's liberating. It's truth. It'll help us to live, Father God, if we just listen to what is speaking to us and put into practice what you desire for us to put into practice in the earth realm. Thank you that you have admonished us to be watchful, to look for the return of Christ. Along with, Father God, thank you so much that you've admonished us to plan as well. Father God, we honor you, we trust you, we thank you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. All heads bowed, all eyes closed as we give someone an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. If you're here in this place and you're convicted, God is dealing with you about giving your life to Christ. Or if you're viewing us by way of any social media, you're being convicted that God is admonishing you to give your life to Jesus Christ. The way that we invite him into our lives is by way of prayer. Somebody say prayer. Somebody say amen. We ask the church to pray along with us to support those who might be praying for the first time and to encourage them as well. So we ask the church to pray with us as that person might be praying for the first time to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Church, pray with us. Non-believer, pray with us as well. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. Tell the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you believe that you received Jesus into your heart as Savior and Lord of your life. We try not to put folks on Front Street here, amen. If we're in the house or if you're viewed by any social media outlet, there's a number on the screen right now. All you have to do is call that number. Let us know, one, you're saved, and two, let us know that you need help with your walk with the Lord that you just declared by way of praying and asking him to come into your life. I promise you that one of the elders or myself will give you a call and welcome you into the body to help you as it relates to some of the material that you need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Somebody say amen. If you desire to be a member of this ministry, you can call that same number and say, I want to be a member of Friendship Christian Church Ministries. We'll get back in touch with you and give you the information that you need to come on board with us, et cetera, et cetera.